Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this edition of the Anthony Johnson Show. I'm your host, Anthony Johnson. As we commemorate the 9/11, what happened on 9/11, and you know, today is Saturday the 12th, but yesterday people thought about it, and it's never really far from our thoughts. And I think it's important that we do take a moment and reflect on it consistently, because something that tragic. You know, that was, for some of us, and I've heard people say that was our Pearl Harbor, if you will. On December 7th, 1941, excuse me, when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor in Hawaii, you know, everybody remembered who lived during that time, remember where they were, and they never forgot it. And 9/11 was our, as I said, was our Pearl Harbor. I think everybody remembers where they were, what they were doing, what they were talking about when it happened. And you never forget it. And you know, the questions, when tragedies happen, no matter how big or how small, the questions are, you know, could they have been avoided? Could this horrible act been avoided? And I think it's always a resounding yes. I think we as humans always are in a position of changing the outcome of something, that could, tragically happen, horribly happen. When people talk about Pearl Harbor, when Roosevelt, tells the nation, a stunned nation on radio that, unprovoked and it came out of nowhere, sneak attack. But, well, actually, that's inaccurate. British intelligence had been telling the United States government officials, military officials, for weeks, that Japanese was planning something, that they were planning to attack. Winston Churchill and Prime Minister Winston Churchill of England and President Franklin Roosevelt, over time, had become very good friends, and they talked frequently. And, it is said that Churchill had let him know, like, listen, as much as we need your help, America, we're not going to stand by and allow this to happen. We know without a shadow of a doubt that it's happening, that Japan is planning, they're training, they're mobilizing against you guys, and they're coming up the Pacific on such and such day at such time. They're coming. So just wanted to let you know that. Be prepared. And unfortunately, America didn't prepare. And you fast forward, to 9/11, and, here we are again. The United States was given information prior to the attack, and those who had this invaluable information made the conscious choice of not doing anything, to stand back. And listen, I know the conspiracy theories out there, and that's not what I do, and that's not what my show is about. People say, hey, when a plane's crashing into the building, and the building came down really fast, that normally doesn't happen. That's not what I'm talking about. It's not hearsay. It's not it's not like maids gossiping at the market that America didn't know. Our officials knew that this attack was coming. And they stood by and they did nothing. Now, you know, the question is did they have an agenda? You know, again, I'm not going to play conspiracy theorists, but, you know, when I take moments to think about what happened in 9/11, those are the things I think about. I say, you know, I ask that question, could have been avoided. You know, the citizens of this nation, we have endured some of the darkest chapters in American history. It goes without saying. You know, from the near extinction of the Native Americans in this country, their country, to attempting to keep women as second-class citizens and denying them the right to vote, of those who embraced and profited from the institution of slavery, to, as I said earlier, the bombing of Pearl Harbor and incarcerating Japanese Americans in internment camps during World War II. There have been other national tragedies, such as the Tuskegee experiment, where African American men were maliciously and with great cynicism injected with sexually transmitted diseases to see how long they could survive. Here in America, to Katrina, and of course 9/11, have all rocked the nation to its foundation. And yet, Americans' resolve has never been stronger. It appears that under the worst circumstances, we as a people, we as humans, we rise to the occasion. It's true. America has seen better days, and I, for one, believe that if we stay the course, if we start holding those Americans accountable who seem determined to topple the pillars that keep this nation from completely falling apart, I believe we can have brighter days once more. But I think it's going to take us as a people of doing more in this nation. We should never forget what happened in 9/11, but in the process of never forgetting, we need to begin to ask questions of what can be done to ensure that it never happens again. Here in Philadelphia, you know, we've had a spike in crime this summer. It was almost like maybe like the last month and a half of the summer. All of a sudden we saw this sporadic, then consistent increase in the violence. Something like a 5% increase. And even though individuals like the mayor of Philadelphia, Mayor Nutter, and police commissioner Charles Ramsey like to still downplay, like, oh, but those numbers are still not as bad as they used to be in the past. Nobody is talking about the past. And at this juncture, and in a situation like this, no one cares about what happened in the past. What we care about is what's happening right now, today, that the crime in this city is once again out of control. So I can say for myself, I'm not interested in hearing about what happened in the good old days when the crime was, yes, the crime is high now, but it's not like it used to be. Okay, you know. Yeah, we are a species where we're not concerned about what you did 5 years ago. It's like, hey, what you did 5 years ago was great, but that was 5 years ago. We're dealing with the now, and the now says you're not doing what needs to be done to address the rise in crime and violence in the city of Philadelphia over the last month and a half. But that, instead of the Commissioner Ramsey focusing his attention on those type of things, recently he was quoted as saying that the police protesters around the United States and in Philadelphia who are out in great numbers, you know, not just Black Lives Matter, but in general, people in this country are tired of the abuse of the police. He was quoted as saying that here in Philadelphia that police protesters are missing an opportunity. Missing an opportunity of what? What opportunities are police protesters missing? I think, unfortunately and curiously, it appears that Commissioner Ramsey is being slapped upside the noggin with the same idiotic talking point book used by many of the police in America since 1856. That's 2 years after the police force was founded in America. I also regret to inform the police commissioner that police brutality is as common as breathing. See, individuals like Charles Ramsey, Commissioner Ramsey, and a great deal of police commissioners around this country, not all of them, but yes, the majority of them, and a great deal of Americans in general, really believe that police brutality is a form of it's an anomaly. That hey, this is something new in the United States. Well, once again, America, you, ladies and gentlemen who listen to the show, you know my stance on most Americans, and it's statistically proven that most Americans don't know basic American history. So they got individuals like Commissioner Ramsey and these other individuals. They fall in that category. And what bothers me more than anything, because they don't even Google this stuff. You know, guys, you can actually Google this now. You don't even have to go to back, you know, when we were coming up before Google and all the other social networks, engines out there that you can actually put information in and within seconds get a historical aspect of what it is you're interested in. We actually had to go to the library. We had to go purchase the books and then read about it. These guys have gotten so lazy that they won't even Google this stuff before they open their mouths, which makes them foolish. It doesn't make them look foolish. You know, someone can look a certain way and not be that way. They are foolish because, you know, again, all you had to do is Google this. Police brutality in this country is as old, you know, as almost time itself. Sadly, and before police in the United States, but throughout the world, in old Europe, those who are given power to police a society, there are some who become corrupt, easily corrupt, but they were already corrupted. The power merely highlighted their corruption. Once again, Commissioner Ramsey, he and the Philadelphia police are missing an opportunity to finally reach out to the communities and extend the olive branch of creating a peaceful relationship that has been fractured between police and many of the residents in Philadelphia since the 1970s. He hasn't done his homework. And saying things like police protesters are missing an opportunity basically, once again, says how they have built this foolish blue wall, whatever they call it, you know, and insulated themselves from reality, which is you guys, police, have an issue with a great deal of American citizens in this country. I mean, just think about the tennis player just recently, you know, a retired African-American police, African-American tennis player who was tackled, mistaken identity. What happened to, again, you know, and again, I'm not going to spend, you know, this is not a show where I'm, you know, saying police are just horrible people, because they're not. But sadly, there are enough of them who are on the force who lack, I mean, basic common sense. See, the longer Commissioner Ramsey waits, the greater the schism between police and residents will continue to divide. And not just Commissioner Charles Ramsey in Philadelphia, but the police chiefs throughout this country. The longer they wait to reach out and create a better bond, a better relationship with the general public, that schism is going to continue to grow and will continue to divide us. And mistrust will continue to reign supreme. You know, and while we're on the subject of law enforcement, the Oregon cop just recently and his family faced death threats because Every so often in the United States, we have a Serpico that steps up. A good police officer who believes in the law and believes in protecting and who is incorruptible, who steps up. And this Oregon cop and his family are receiving death threats. Get this, not just from the police, but from the residents. Because he has made it clear that, you know, he doesn't want to work for, he's holding accountable a police chief who's clearly racist. So as I'm saying earlier, we can't take all the police officers out there and lump them in one basket and say they're all bad. Because there are those out there who get up, who go to work, and they protect and serve, and they do it with integrity. What's scary is that when this cop and his family are facing death threats, not just from the police, but from the residents, the community, this gives would-be good cops to step up and say racism is wrong, police corruption is wrong. It frightens them into not saying anything. We have to change the culture. But when the general public appears to be siding with corruption and racist police, then we have a major problem in this country. Stay tuned for that. Well, you're starting to see the Republican candidates for president, they're starting to drop off. Rick Perry of Texas, former governor, he's going to be dropping out, because he's not getting any money. No one's going to support him, so he's dropping out. And then there's Chris Christie of New Jersey. I mean, just think of it this way. A few years ago, this guy was the cat's meow. Everybody thought he was going to be president. There were a lot of people that believed he was going to be president. There were a lot of people who believed that had Chris Christie ran in 2012, he would have beat Romney for the nomination and possibly beat President Obama. I never saw that. But here we are 3 years later, and this guy is like, he's horrendous. I mean, the Bridgegate foolishness, you know. And I think Americans, I applaud Americans on that, because even people who support him have said, you know, listen, I like him. This is not me, but this is his supporters who say they like him and everything. But even they have said, listen, all this stuff was going on, and you know, right under your nose, and you didn't know. That's hard to believe. But recently, he said that he believes that harassing and profiling Black and Latino communities kept New York safe. Chris Christie, people call him a bully. You know, he says really idiotic things. He's a mean-spirited individual. But this is the same guy gets sensitive when he's told that if he steps away from the buffet table from time to time, he might actually lose some weight, or that he lacks basic human intelligence, which he does. I said last month that no chance Chris Christie and the rest of the Republican hopefuls were going to, and once they started seeing their chances floundering to get the Republican nod, they were going to start taking their cue from Donald Trump as they ramp up their racist rhetoric. Donald Trump is doing well because of his racist rhetoric, his bigotry, his homophobic ideology. And speaking of racist and bigots, the racist, bigots, homophobics, xenophobics, and sexists basically say, if gays can come out and be accepted, why can't they? Thus is why Chris Christie, Trump, and others are increasing their hate speeches. You know, 3 months ago, I had a great conversation with several Caucasian couples who lived in the early 50s and lived through the turbulent 60s. And they said to me, they said, young man, we haven't seen this type of hate in America since the old days. And because of the technology, that hate machine now can carry this hate even further. Ladies and gentlemen, these folk fought and was beaten and disowned by their families because they believed all people deserve civil rights. They're concerned. And if they're concerned and they've seen hell in this country, we need to start taking things serious in this country. And finally, if you haven't heard, the Syrian refugees are going to be granted asylum in Germany. Germany is going to take about 40,000 of them. And France is going to take some as well. Excuse me. It's amazing, though. Angela Merkel, the chancellor of Germany, recently was quoted in one of the German papers where she's actually criticizing Facebook because of some of the most hateful posts on Facebook about the Syrian refugees, and she's taking Facebook to task. She's saying all the stuff that's on Facebook that's being said about these people, why aren't you guys addressing this? I have friends that would post pictures of women breastfeeding a baby, and Facebook will censor them. But hate speech is okay. Some 40,000 migrants could arrive in Germany over the next 2 days, like by Monday. That's double the number who entered the country last weekend. The southern city of Munich received another 3,600 today. Germany has become an attractive destination for Syrian refugees since it waived the EU rules. So Germany has stepped up. And the reason why I'm talking about this is because this is international. This is something that we should be concerned about. But of all the countries in Europe, France and Germany are the only two that actually stepped up and are embracing these individuals, these refugees, the Syrian refugees. The other countries are... They're like, no. They're saying no. It's, you know, and President Obama just this week also said that he's considering bringing in some of the refugees, Syrian refugees, to give them asylum here. And ladies and gentlemen, we already know what's going to happen with that. You can hear it now. Come a nation where we're not really looking out for each other like we used to. We don't seem to care. We don't seem to care not only about each other, but we don't care about what other people are going through in other countries. Syria is war torn. The leader, Bashar al-Assad, who is supported by Russia, has engaged in torture, and the country is war-torn. So those families are leaving there, and they're looking for asylum in Europe. Other than Germany and France, there's not many others that's allowing them to come, the refugees to come into their countries. There, you know, some countries are saying they're getting a lot of pressure from citizens saying they don't want these people here, and that's scary because it's the people. It's not the government that's saying it; it's the people, which the government is the people. But the government is saying, hey, we wouldn't have a problem, but our citizens are saying no. We have lost our way in the world. We have become selfish. We have become arrogant, egotistical. We have become apathetic. We have cashed in our empathy and our compassion at the door. There is no longer respect and trust among us anymore. Some of us have been listening to the wrong people. Many of us spend too much time watching the media, hype up things that shouldn't be hyped up, and things that should be addressed they don't address. They're not really talking about this issue that's going on in Europe. And it's something that we should have a conversation on. It's something that we should be discussing. I, for one, think it's time for us to start being better human beings. We have it within us to do it, and we need to start doing it more. And finally, everyone's still talking about Ms. Davis, who was released from prison, and she was informed that, you know, she goes back to work. She cannot interfere with the licenses that's being given out to couples, same-sex couples who want to get married. And the rumor, what people are saying is, you know, I haven't heard anything quoted from her, but it appears that she's going to go in and she's going to do just that. And the judge has made it clear that if she does try to interfere, she will go back to jail. But now there's some militia group in Kentucky that's basically threatening, once again, the government, saying basically that, no. If she decides to go back to work and say, I'm back, I'm going to invalidate those licenses that were given while I was absent, and we're not giving others anymore, that when law enforcement comes to take her back to jail, this group is saying that they're not going to let it happen. We have a problem in this country where people truly believe that there are rules that apply to some people and then there are rules that don't apply to some people. That you and I have to follow certain rules, but individuals like Ms. Davis doesn't have to. This is the type of foolishness, again, that America has to finally wake up out of their deep slumber and say, all this is happening? You got guys who are walking around wanting to be president that are just as racist and sexist and xenophobic and homophobic as they come? Are you serious? Absolutely not. We got individuals walking around saying, well, they don't believe in same-sex marriages because God said it's not healthy, and whatever God says goes, but the same individual have been married several times. They have participated in an adulterer. You know, the hypocrisy in America is at an all-time high. It's time for the sane folk to wake up, and I'm saying wake up. And for those who are awake and who think that, you know what, they'll burn out. You know, everybody keeps talking about, Trump, he'll burn out. Take it easy, he'll burn out. He's just having his 15 minutes. Why even play that game? We're better than that. We're better than that. So let's start acting. That does it for this show. I hope that you enjoyed it, and I hope that you can return next week to the Anthony Johnson Show. Be safe, and take care. Good night.